Thank you very much for that beautiful song. Isn't that true? We know it is the blood of Jesus Christ that is our hope. It is the blood of Christ alone that washes our sins away. And if there's ever a time that we need to be clinging to the blood, it is today. An ever-evolving and changing world, we live in an age of hatred that I have seen escalating at a rate that I have not in my own lifetime. And we need the love of Jesus, because we know that love overcomes evil. We know that love conquers hate. If you look in your bulletin there, you see the title of the message, and I want to do you a little bit of a favor, and I'd like to just expand this title just a little bit, because this is if you would take just what I have there, it could be a broad subject. But I want to communicate to you this morning the expression of the mind. As you look at that, you may consider, what does this all mean? But I believe by the time we finish, or as we finish, you'll understand very clearly what I'm talking about, and I trust will be blessed. But I want to communicate with you in particular, because I'm sharing out of my own trial that I'm going through now of my life. And this message is born out of the very steps of grief I'm walking in now. And I want to communicate to you the expression of the mind as it relates to trouble, as it relates to hard times, as it relates to dark places. And when we talk about an expression, what are we talking about? We're talking about an utterance. We're talking about a saying. We're talking about that which communicates. And so as we go through this message this morning, we want to learn how to properly express our character and our actions as it pertains to our mind. And when I'm talking about the mind, I'm talking about the understanding and the such like that I'll share here. Now, as we get ourselves into this message, let me begin with a statement here that I believe. One of the greatest gifts God gave to humanity was the mind. I believe one of the greatest gifts that you and I have had bestowed upon us as a human being is the mind itself. For example, what do I mean? It's thoughts, it's creativity, and the such like. The way it imagines, thinks, processes things. From our mind comes forth much of the character of mankind. Within our mind, within our process of thoughts, in our imagining, in the creativity of our mind and understanding, forms much, if not primarily, most of all of the character that we will see in our own lives and in humanity itself. Now let me stop and give you a verse. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, the Bible says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he," and or she, we obviously know that. Let me repeat that. "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Simply put, as you and I process life in our mind, as we envision the way things should be or not should be, as we contemplate the different things within the mind, those things, in great essence, are going to produce the type of character, either A, that God would have us to have in our life, or that character that is opposite of the image of God. And most of this begins in the mind, in that place that nobody gets into except God, or those that we allowed to get into. You know, a lot of things we can see in each other's lives. We see what we wear today. We see how we conduct ourselves outwardly. But a lot of us, unless God gives us that eternal insight, do not know the process of thinking that is happening in each other's minds right now. We don't know the thoughts that we're carrying. We don't know what we're imagining. We don't know what we're creating in the mind. But God does. And again, to be very clear, I am emphasizing today the reaction of one in times of trouble, which so often start in the mind. So often start in the mind. I want us to consider some scriptures in respect to this subject that I believe is of great importance, because again, I want to emphasize to your mind the importance of right thinking, of processing events in life, good or bad, in a Christian way, through the mind of Christ, because the Bible says, but we have the mind of Christ as Christians, but to process these things in a way that we come out on the victorious side and don't come out, if I may put it this way, on the losing side. So let us consider some scriptures in light of this great subject of the Bible. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, the Bible speaks about the mind. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Simply put, they that are after the flesh, they put their thoughts, they put their affections, they put their attention, they put their understanding on the things of the flesh. But those that are spiritually minded, those who have been born of the Spirit and are walking in the Spirit and are in tune with the Holy Spirit, they think the thoughts of Jesus Christ. Their affections and process of thinking are according to the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, "For to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." See, we see the importance of right thinking, understanding, having our mind in a place where it should be. Because if we simply think after the flesh, we will act after the flesh, and we will be no different from the world around us. But if we think the mind of God, if we process the events of life through the Holy Spirit, we will be A, spiritually minded, and the result of that will be life and peace. And it all depends upon how we process life and its events. Very important. With the Bible not being, well, let me know, I don't want to go there yet. I got another couple verses I'm going to share with you at, just to bring home this subject really home to your heart and my heart. Paul speaks in 2 Timothy 1:7. He says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Sound means simply whole. All it means, something that's sound, it's whole. It's well. It's healthy. And God has not given you or I as Christians a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and, again, of a sound mind. Again, Paul speaks in 2 Timothy 2, verse 7. And he told Timothy, he says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Paul told Timothy, "Timothy, consider, contemplate, think upon what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things," because it's God's understanding, His mind, that's going to carry us through those times that are troublesome and painful and the such like. We must have the mind of Christ. Now, with the Bible not being silent on the mind, our subject today, I'd like us to look now at some reactions of those that went before. Now, again, I'm emphasizing today the mind's reactions pertaining to times of trouble. Now, let us look at some biblical examples and consider how they reacted. We know the famous story of Job. I call it famous because a lot of people know the life of Job, even those that are outside of the church. Some are even aware of Job and his afflictions. But Job was a man that was not without trials and temptations. Now, Job was a righteous man, and he was upright. And we know, and I'll just share, if you want this story, it's in Job chapter 1 and in Job chapter 2. Well, we know Job lost his possessions. He lost I don't know how many servants. He lost all of his children, his sons and his daughters. And in chapter 2, This, you would have thought that was enough, but the plagues didn't stop. Then we know Job was plagued with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. And you know, his wife said, "Do you still keep your integrity, Job? Are you still going to keep your integrity? Curse God and die. Listen, you went through enough." And Job says, "Are you as one of the foolish women?" You know, that she was giving him some type of counsel like this. And the Bible says in Job chapter 1, verse 22, and I believe in Job 2, verse 10, that Job did not sin with his lips. He did not charge God foolishly. He was in great grief and trial, so much so that you remember when his three friends came for 7 days, nobody said nothing. They saw Job's grief, and everybody was silent and said nothing. Now, Job had a troublesome time before him, but Job was able to bless God and even say, "Naked came I from the womb, and I'm going back there the same way." But why? How could Job bless the Lord? How could he have such trust in God in such a time of trouble? Because his thoughts at this point were aware of the character of God. Job had enough understanding. His mind was at a place where he understood the character and the goodness of God enough to not follow his wife's counsel and curse God, but yet do the opposite and bless God. But it all depends on where our thoughts are at. Are our thoughts mingled with the thoughts of God? Is our mind saturated in the ways of God? If so, we will be able to live out the example of Job when troublesome times come. If not, we'll only act the way of the world and how they react. And we know their reactions aren't always that good, are they? Let me give you another example. Let us look at the example of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. Paul was given the messenger of Satan to buffet him with a thorn in the flesh. Now, the Bible explains very plainly to us why it was given, and that is that Paul would not become exalted above measure. Basically, simple to you and I, that he wouldn't become proud and puffed up because of the abundance of the spiritual revelations he had from the Lord. And in other words, God allowed the messenger of Satan to buffet him to keep him humble. 3 times Paul besought, and that word besought is likely begged, the Lord, that he would deliver this thorn from him. Paul wanted this thing out of his life, and he was, it seems, begging the Lord 3 times for the deliverance from this. And then the Lord spoke, and he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul went on to say, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities or weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak," you know, wasn't it stated that then I am strong? But again, how could the Apostle Paul do this? How could he utter such a thing when it seems he was begging the Lord 3 times to be delivered from this thorn in the flesh? I think I can give you the answer, and that is because he understood the provision of God. The Apostle Paul understood the provision of God. He knew the grace of God. God spoke. God said, "Paul, my grace, my word, I'll say, humanly speaking, my provision is enough, Paul. I'm enough." And Paul realized, okay, I'm going to be gladly boasting in my weaknesses because I know the power of the Lord will be in my life now. But it's because the Apostle Paul's mind understood the provision of God. He became aware. Let me give you 1/3 example from the Bible. And again, we're looking at true characters, persons from the Bible that found victory in times of trouble in their mind. I don't know if you're aware of Psalm 73 and the person called Asaph, but he was an individual that envied the wicked. Psalm starts out in 73, Asaph envied the wicked, and he saw their prosperity, and he went on to say, truly, I have cleansed my hands in vain. What's the purpose, you know, of serving the Lord, was his heart. What's going on here? Why am I serving the Lord? Look at the wicked. They're prospering, and here I'm serving the Lord for no purpose at all. This was his thinking, Asaph. But you know what? I want you to know that when Asaph went into the sanctuary of God to have communication with the living God, he gained through understanding from God to realize the end of the wicked that he envied at one time because of their prosperity, and he realized his wrong perception. Asaph went in and had communication with God, and he gained understanding in the mind of the end of the wicked that surely God has set their feet in slippery places. And he realized that their prosperity is but for a moment, and he realized he had a wrong perception to the point that he realized he was foolish to think this way. But it wasn't until his mind gained understanding and perception of what is really real. And that is simply that the wicked's prosperity is but for a moment. And even though they may not have trials and temptations as the righteous seemingly do, their prosperity is going to be but for a moment. And listen, you and I as Christians, we know our end. As we utter the same thing that the Apostle Paul said, for I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. We know that as Paul said, henceforth is there laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not only is it going to be to the Apostle Paul, but to you and I also. Because he went on to say, and not to me only also, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, I'd like to give you four practical, true reasonings how you and I can get our minds to such a place that Asaph's mind eventually came to, and that the Apostle Paul's mind was in, and that Job's mind was in, at least in chapters 1 and 2, because we know Job did struggle through that book and had his own foolish thinking. But yet, in those two chapters, we know his thoughts were in a good place at that moment. And I want to give you four practical reasonings how we can have our minds, our understanding, our reasoning, our process of thinking in such a place that you and I come out on top, victorious believers. Number one of the great important practical things that will get our minds into this place is the thing called prayer. That which is called prayer. Let me give you a verse in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul said, be careful. That simply means don't be anxious. Don't worry. He said, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, human understanding, shall keep or guard what? Your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen, when we take our troubles, when we take those things that want to make us anxious and worrisome, and when we carry those things purposely, they drown us. But when we're able to take them to the Lord and release them to Him, God, whether it's Him sending angels or however it all works in the invisible eternal realm, we know God sends His provision of protection against our hearts and against our minds from contemplating thoughts and anxieties and the such like that don't help us but hinder us. But how often do you and I, instead of giving our troubles to the Lord, hold on to them? If I would hold on to the grief and trouble that I have now, I'd be a very, very troubled person. I would be tempted to be bitter, and I would be tempted to be angry and the such like. But as I'm able to take these things and release them to the Lord, God sends His provision of protection against my mind from engaging in any ungodly thought that will lead me to a character that would betray really who I am, and that is that I'm a child of God.
We don't want our character to betray who we are. If we're children of God, we have a character we need to lift up and hold on to. We cannot let circumstances, trials, troubles, even riches and prosperity change our character, who we ought to be as Christians. Our character should be steadfast. And it ought to be the character of God, but it only comes as our minds are in the right place. And it's in times of troubles and tribulations, and not only that, honestly, it's in times of prosperity where our minds can get carried away and start to reason and think and contemplate in a way that's damaging to our life. Not only do we read how Paul said this in Philippians, but again, back to Psalm 73, Asaph, again in verses 16 and 17. Those of you that like notes, Psalm 73, verses 16 and 17, Asaph was considering and he was thinking on this thing and he went into the sanctuary of God, and he understood their end. Again, it's just a prime example of Asaph going in and communicating with God through prayer, contemplating with God, and God gave him understanding. And he realized, wow, I was foolish to think this way. This was foolish. Because communication with God brings right reasoning. And when we have right Christian reasoning, it brings right Christian character. But it starts in the mind. Secondly, not only is prayer of great importance to getting our minds in such a place, but we got another P word called praise. Praise to God helps form, shape our reasoning and mind in a place where it doesn't betray our character, but allows the expression of our mind to utter who we are and who we trust in. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine." We're called not to be intoxicated with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when we start to praise God, when we start to sing the psalms and the hymns and spiritual songs, do you know what that does? It makes the heart and the mind thankful. It formulates our mind to a place where it can think the thoughts of God. And when we think the thoughts of God, we act the acts of God. But when we think according to a fallen society, we act according to a fallen society. Praise is of great importance. We could go to the story. You've heard me teach it before in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 when Jehoshaphat was warned of the three armies that were against him. And we know that the king eventually appointed singers to go out before the children of Israel, and they sang the praise of God. And we know that the children of Israel never fought. God fought for them because the armies destroyed themselves. Because praise is a mighty weapon. It destroys discouragement. It keeps the heart and mind in a right place. Thirdly, not only are prayer and praise those great spiritual gifts and avenue to keeping our minds in such a place as the examples we shared before, but the Word of God is of utmost importance to shaping our thoughts, forming our thinking patterns. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." I want you to understand one thing about light, and that is that light illuminates. Illumination is similar to understanding. When we understand something, we've been illuminated. We have gained right perception. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." It's that which illuminates. It's that which gives understanding. And when we take time as Mary did, as you read in the Bible in Luke 10, verses 38 to 42, how Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word, no doubt Mary gained understanding. She was enlightened of the ways of God. And if we want our minds to be in such a place as these characters of God who were able to express outwardly the things that they expressed because their mind was in a right place, we need to get our mind in that place. And it is the Word of God that is going to strengthen us and formulate our thinking patterns.
And I could never encourage you enough to get in the Word and stay in the Word. And I share this out of a great burden. I've just lost my only brother. And the details of that, at this point, I'm not going to share. But they're troubling to me. And I want to make sure that I'm diligent to share with all of you. Get in the Word. Get in the Word and stay in the Word. It's that which keeps the mind in the right place. Life's short. My brother was only 43 years old. You know, life is very short. Lastly, I want to give you one fourth practical way to shape our mind to such a place, and that's called the word meditation. The word meditation, when we meditate upon something, we're pondering it. Sometimes we ponder or consider something silently, and sometimes we consider or ponder something out loud by talking to ourselves. You know, occasionally I find myself doing that to myself. Now, I know I'm not crazy. I'm just trying to come to a right reasoning and understanding. But meditation, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, again, we allow the Bible to be our facts. Paul said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think or meditate on these things." Think on them. Meditate upon them. You know, the things that we ponder and the things that we meditate on are the things that will become live ammunition to shaping both our character and our process of thinking. You know, I've tried to make it a practice in my life to never question God. It's something I did from the beginning of my Christian life, to never question God of maybe you didn't do something right, because I know, as the Bible says, He hath done all things well. God does everything right. When things don't come out right, it's because mankind has made decisions that aren't healthy and right. But I want to leave you with the great importance of thinking Christian thoughts, thinking in a biblical way, that your mind, your understanding, your reasoning, your contemplations can be at such a place that your mind can express itself in trust to God. That the mind's expression can express itself, A, in praise, in prayer, in being in the Word, and sharing with another, that God is enough to get us through these times, because God is enough. God is enough to get us through the deepest of trials. And I say that going through one of the deepest trials I've ever went through in my life. But I know that God is enough. So, as you live life, let not your mind's expression betray who you profess you are. But let it only back up the reality of who God has made you in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to gather together and hear the Word of God. We thank you for the opportunity to be Christians. Lord, we only love you, God, because you first loved us. We only seek you because you first sought us. Father, we only think on you because you first thought of us. Lord, we thank you for your salvation. And God, I pray for anybody here that does not know the Lord. Lord, I never want to take anything for granted. If anybody does not know the Lord here personally in their heart, in reality, I pray your Holy Spirit would illuminate that to their understanding. And I ask that you'd grant unto them the gifts of repentance towards you and faith in Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, and help us as children of God walk, Lord, in your ways. Father, as we go from this place, I pray that you'd help us to take your ways with us, Lord. And I do ask that, Father, that you would continue to go before us, behind us, beside us. We trust in you, who only are good. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I dismiss you, I want to share one thing. If any of you know that you need to be born again, saved, you please come talk to Pastor Ted and myself. We cannot take these things for granted. We cannot just assume that we're saved. The Bible says we can know. The Apostle John said he wrote these things that we may know that we're saved. Life is short. Let us never take it for granted. And as Christians, let us live wholeheartedly. Thank you for being here, and you are dismissed.